It is Thursday, the 24th of April, and this is episode 205 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome along to another snotty, bunged up episode. I'm Chris, joined by the aerated Ian.
Aerated?
Yeah, I was trying to think of a way of saying unbunged up. It came out as aerated. Like, that's what you do in a garden, isn't it? On a lawn.
Good evening, Christopher. I have let go of all my USB rants from last week. I now have a new one.
All right.
Printer ink.
Printer ink?
Every time I go to use my printer. Every time. I use it like 3 times a year. And so it said low ink, and it did actually print. I thought, right, go and order it. £60.
I know. It is an awful lot of money. Thing is, I did that thing a while back where you buy a whole ton of it, and then it doesn't. Solid. You don't need it forever. And then suddenly when you come back to buying it again, crikey, that's expensive. Yeah, so you've got a stockpile of printer ink.
And now what I have done is I have bought the non-official stuff because everybody says it's like decent, and it was £11 against 60.
Not if you read the manufacturer's thing though, but they're going, we sold you this thing for like £10. Give us a break, buy our ink.
I mean, I could buy a new printer for 90. So see if it bungs it up. I'll just get a new printer, which will have loads of new features on it anyway. It's a joke.
Anyway. I mean, that's what they do, isn't it? They make the money off the ink.
Oh, they're just clocks.
USB, now printers. What's next week? Tune in. Apple have been giving us some figures again, and they've been wooing their investors. Basically, I don't know, they're astronomical figures again, better than analysts' expectations, which seems to be the thing that's really important is, do you beat analyst expectations? But they've been saying how they're kind of excited by the you know, they're still growing. And they've also done some share shenanigans. We'll call them share shenanigans. They've basically split everyone's shares into 7. So that the actual individual value of a share is divided, because it was getting ridiculous how much it would actually cost to get a share. And now it means that people can come in at much smaller chunks of money, even if they just want one share. It's still expensive. I mean, we're still talking, what is it, $100 a share, something like that? Or I can't remember how much it got up to.
So at the moment, it was sitting at $566 last night.
Okay, so now we're still talking sort of $70-ish for a share.
But I think it went up 40 or 50. Yeah, it went up $42 today.
So even though it went down to 70, now it's back up to 100 again already per share. So that, yeah, it's obviously a way, like I say, of making sure people can actually invest at slightly lower figures. That went down well. His talk in general, sort of talking about the fact that they are coming up with new products that will be released, that helped as well, I think.
I just thought the whole thing was bogus. What I hate about this is they've got so much money they could go into. And so fair enough, there's a couple of things that came out yesterday that obviously they've bought 24 companies in the last 18 months. Yeah. And it looks like a lot of their acquisitions they keep, you know, very quiet about. You know, Facebook and Google. And maybe they're not big ticket ones. It's probably like small software companies or small niche things. And I know they'd bought a lot of map making or transit kind of things, because everybody's predicting iOS 8. There will be a kind of a maps version 2, you know, fixing all the mistakes and bringing, you know, transit back in, because they tried to leverage third parties. They said third parties go at it, and it's not there.
Yeah.
Definitely not there. But the bit that hacks me off is just that they've just basically, to me, they just bowed over to the kind of stock market and the shareholders, the big kind of beasts that had come in and said, you need to do X, Y, and Z. And although they said we're not going to do it, they basically have. And that's why the stock price has gone up. It's nothing to do with how the company's performing.
No, the company hasn't done anything new, but that shows how fickle people are. But the
it fact is,
they've now, you know, they've made $42 per share, which, you know, is a ridiculous amount of money just by saying that. I mean, that shows how fickle. And obviously, they can time things like this because they, you know, strategically want their share to be at set values at set times. Can be defensive moves and all sorts of things happening like that.
And they also increase their dividends, you know, so they're one of the best paying stocks to hold now. So obviously it makes them a stronger, you know, for lots of investment firms. It's like, right,
because investment firms get income as well as having the value of the actual stock as well. So why wouldn't you? When you've got that much cash, there's no point at sitting there just doing nothing and stagnating, because it's going down in value effectively. Any sort of cash pot goes down in value over time.
And I know I always say as well, we're not going to cover financials, but the one that I thought this one...
But we always do.
Well, we kind of do, but this one I thought was particularly interesting because Cook...
Yeah.
Oh, I've called him Cook. Tim Cook. I mean, is this like the third or fourth one that he's done that he says, you know, but you know, we've got a couple of new product categories coming up. And this one is very particular.
What is saying, though?
We're eagerly looking forward to introducing more new products and services that only Apple... bring to the market.
Yeah, and that he's definitely said that before. But what it does say is they're still not rushing anything, as in they will do it in their own sweet time when they think whatever they've got is ready. So it does prove that that side of Apple hasn't changed yet. So the culture hasn't shifted away from that.
No.
And the investors are still happy enough, especially with these little tweaks and whatever going on, to keep that momentum. So at the moment, there's no need for them to do anything. There is a worry that they're reaching stagnation point on some of their products that they've got now, because everyone's bought them, especially with something like an iPad. But that only takes one version change, and then a whole chunk of people will change it again. You know, they'll buy the next one.
So. Yeah. And so iPhone sales are really strong. I mean, 44 million against 37 million, like, you know, this time last year. So that's really good. You know, considering the 5S is what some people saw as an intermediate product, you know, compared to the 5, where the 5 was a kind of, you know, new design, and the 5S is the in-between, and everybody's predicting new larger screen sizes this year. iPads was a funny one because it has dropped compared to last year.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people say, no, this is the death of the tablet. And I don't think
no
it
way.
Is. It's just
no
a different way. It's just a different product. It's
a different product, and people are just... Everyone knows that there is due a new iPad, so, you know...
But I also think, for me, it's not a upgrade every year type thing, or upgrade every two years. I would probably try and hold on to like a laptop, maybe like, you know, 3 years.
iPad is still going strong. It frustrates me with some apps, but I'm pretty sure that that's not necessarily the actual pad causing the problem. I think it's actually the app and its, you know, syncing methods and stuff. So
I think there's a lot of press today about iPads, you know, and is this the death knell, is this the end? It's like rubbish.
Definitely not.
And the other one that stood out, good old Apple TV, because they'd said at the end of last year we've sold about 10 million, and they said yesterday we've now sold 20.
And you know what that is, though? That is the whole, this is there's nothing else to buy. I've got money to buy, spend on. The next best thing is Apple TV, and great, you can boost your sales by not releasing other products. By, you know,
and there's also,
if you
want
to spend some money, spend it on this.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of kind of extra apps and channels that have appeared. Somebody did, I think it was Mac Stories, did a really good infographic today that just showed you the kind of
things are moving,
the new channels, and it's like, you know, we've had in the last sort of 6 months, there's been something like 15 new channels against the last 18 months of 3 new channels. You know, so it really has picked up. And to me, that's clear. Something is going to happen with that. That's not a...
Yeah, and our next story also points at what could be coming up as well, in a kind of turn left at the traffic lights, but it doesn't take, you know, one and one does make two probably in this case. So Nike has fired its Fuel Band team. They're not discontinuing the product. They're saying they're not going to be discontinuing being in this area, which is considered to be, you know, the area to be in, really, which it would have been very strange, or is very strange, that they've chopped off their main product line until you can consider that they work very, very closely with Apple. Apple have said they're in new product lines, and this will be one that Apple are looking at because it's one that they can get right. Especially with, you know, they've been going with Nike Plus now, well, probably about 5 years, is it? They started.
It's more than that. So Nike Plus was on, I think it was, if I do a quick Google, I can never do this and talk at the same time. Nike Plus appeared in the original, not the original iPod that came out, but it was, I remember there was an exclusive deal with the iPod. I thought it was 2006.
Wow, if it's that long ago, that's bonkers.
Because
it was the one where you had the chip in your shoe, and there was a kind of early doors.
Nike and Apple team up to launch Nike Plus iPod, and it was in May 2006.
There you go. Wow, that's so that much, much longer than even I thought.
Yeah.
So they've been working hand in hand. The fact that they've fired this team, which is, you know, not an insubstantial, it's not massive, obviously. It's but they're talking about 55 odd people were let go. And yeah, and it, like I say, one and one probably does make two in this case. So I think we'll see Apple moving into the... So TV's been a long-standing Apple rumor, and now I think this sort of fuel band type wearable is going to be the next one.
I'm just thinking maybe the more recent thing you're thinking about is it, because I think Night Plus has been around, but there's these fuel points, and I think the fuel points were newer.
Yeah, I'm probably just shortening timescales because I think
the fuel band came out, which was about 3 years ago, they said, we're not going to tell you what the measurement is. You just need to do 3,000 of these fuel points a day.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is. This is just what you need to get.
And also, Tim Cook's on the Night Board.
Yes, and so, they're all scratching each other's back. It makes sense in that respect, but it doesn't help if you're one of those people that's been let go. Because most of the time, if something like this happens, you normally get assimilated into...
Absolutely, but then, and we'll see later on with the other tech news in this area, I think anybody in that particular hardware program, I mean, Samsung's launching stuff, Google's launching wearables, LG's doing it.
If you've got that on your CV, it's going to look...
You're going to walk into a job.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Apple's also opened up its Mavericks beta program. So the OS X software, you can now become part of that beta program without actually being part of their developer setup. So you can get on their beta seed program by just applying. You have to sign a confidentiality agreement and off you go.
Yes.
Whoop.
Well, this is really unusual because for years you've had to be a paid up developer. This is just in the OS 10 side of things. So iOS works the same way as well. And I think we've seen a lot of people, paying for the £60 a year to get the betas early. And I've never bothered doing that on the Mac side, because I need stability. I remember early days of the podcast, and I foolishly put on one of the new releases of OS X, and it broke the software I was using.
Yes, it's almost like the iPad, you can kind of cope with that level of instability. It will crash the desktop, it will crash out every now and again. But when you're actually using it for proper pieces of software, if you like.
Yeah, module recording broke, the tool I used for the show notes broke. And I was like, oh, what an idiot. And I felt really stupid for like early adopter, but I'm doing something that I need to have reliability.
And this is a way of them getting that extra feedback from everyday users who probably don't use their Mac in that way and happy just to, they want the next latest best thing.
I read some developers being really snobby saying, Jesus Christ, this is going to be a nightmare. And the reason is on the iOS side, they've had real problems with not developers having access to betas and then going on to the store and saying one star doesn't work with latest beta.
Right, yeah.
I saw a really good suggestion that said because you need to basically sign in with your Apple account. So you sign in with your Apple account and say, I want to join this beta. And what they should do is say, well, you can no longer,
Yeah, you can't put your review up.
Yeah, because that sucks. Sucks for the developer. Yeah. Seemingly, the last time they did this was when OS 9 was moving to OS 10 and they opened it up for everybody. And there is lots of talk about that the next version is going to be a newish looking feel.
Okay.
So I wonder.
I wonder whether that's a good thing for them, really. I mean, how far they'll go with that next step. I mean, there are certain things that they're still kind of weakly implemented, and there's certain things that they can obviously improve. But, an operating system is an operating system, and if it works, it works. Which most of the time it does. Heartbleed, ongoing fixes. So Apple have said late base stations and time machines need a firmware fix to stop a man-in-the-middle attack possibility. They're saying that the passwords and things are actually protected, but someone could gain access into your login screens and things.
Yeah, so if you've got an extreme. I think it's an extreme, is it? I think it was last year's extreme or a time capsule, then get on it.
And it's a particular service that needs to be turned on for the vulnerability to become available. Back to Mac?
Yeah, back to my Mac.
Back to my Mac. Also on the Heartbleed news, Facebook, Google, Intel, Microsoft, NetApp, Qualcomm, VMware, and Linux Foundation, they've started a new initiative, specifically with relation to Heartbleed at the moment, but going forward to support all of the core infrastructure of sort of the open source world that so many things rely on. So just to give you a sort of hint at it, OpenSSL, which is where the problem of Hartbleed came from, was only getting about $2,000 a year in donations. And that's not enough to obviously support developers. So this is a way of offering support to people so they can become full time on these big, important infrastructure initiatives. And also they're going to be offering testing, and focus down that, and money towards making sure these any weaknesses are identified.
I mean, the good thing is, I mean, you've said that, I mean, it was 2,000 a year, which I was amazed at, because you think from an ECA it is one of the kind of
for something that's so fundamental and central. Yeah.
So this fund initially is going to start at $3.5 million. You know, so quite a step change.
And it seems truly sensible, and for big companies like the ones I mentioned in the opening to this story, it's, you know, small fry. They rely on this software and hardware. They'd rather not be exposed like they were this time. And I'm sure it will come better for it.
But it does mean also that you will get, you know, because people are saying it's amazing that a developer could put this patch in and nobody tested it. And it's like, but who's paying for that?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so you're relying on people's goodwill, you know, to go and do all that work.
And as a developer, you cannot test every single outcome, and it's something that fundamental.
No.
Yeah, so it's needed, it's a good idea, and it's good that it's being done. Facebook profits have surged based on its mobile platform, which surprises me a little, seeing as I find its mobile platform quite frustrating at the moment. However, they are making money, and this is good for them and their shareholders.
I was amazed at this.
Yeah, suspiciously good for them and their shareholders. Kind of when they needed the news, it came out.
Yeah, I mean, $2.5 billion revenue. And considering people were staying there, you know, because a year ago there was all this talk of they're really struggling to get people onto mobile. And I don't see what they've done radically different in the last year.
The Talking Heads is now an extra app, isn't it? Facebook Messenger is now an app. There are adverts there. And don't forget how pervasive Facebook is. If you've got image views of adverts, that's making the money. You know, it's relatively small fry on a case by case basis, but there's so many different cases. There's so many people that are viewing those ads. And, you know, so adding into your stream those news stories, even if they're only paying per click or whatever, however they've got the model set up, tiny amounts of those, you know, can suddenly add up to a lot of money.
And it is all around mobile. I mean, they said they had almost 1.3 billion monthly active users at the end of March. But in mobile, massive. It was just over 1 billion, which is.
I mean, just, you know, the world, what is the world, probably not even at 8 billion yet. That puts it in perspective how pervasive these companies are.
And it shows you why they're chasing after, you know, drones and balloons to get internet out into the areas where the internet doesn't reach right now, because they probably are reaching, you know, stagnation in certain areas. And this is the only way they can actually. And it'll be interesting to see, because I'm sure. Because Google's doing the same. There's lots of all the kind of fearmongers are saying, yeah, but you're going to be in a Google internet and they'll get to know everything. But it's like, that's the cost. And unfortunately, that's the cost. You know, nobody's.
And we've all been ground down by it anyway. So.
But nobody, no private, you know, because the people in a lot of these countries can't afford what it would take for a private, you know, company to go and stand up the infrastructure. So there is a certain amount of that's my only choice.
Yeah, governments have been doing it for years with their kind of aid. Yeah, budgets and things. Now technology firms can do the same thing.
I'm not saying it's good, but that's
no, absolutely no. That Facebook have also acquired. They've got into the fitness and activity tracking by buying the tracking app called Moves. This is Android and iPhone. They've said again they're going to keep this as a separate identity for now. There's no move to bring them all into the Facebook brand. So it's going to sit there. It's going to develop. They basically got hold of this so they can use it going forward, I guess.
Again, it's almost like they've just looked at where the market's going. You know, lots of people are bringing out, you know, movable.
Let's have an in there.
You know, it's like Apple are rumored, Google are looking to, you know, everybody's thinking Google I.O. is going to be the watch. You know, and you've seen seen the watches already that they're promoting. Samsung are doing their watch. We've used Fitbits for, you know, 3.5-4 years now.
It looks beautiful on my desk.
I just like the fact that every time I check it says like Chris has done this and Chris has done that, and it's just no. Chris,
I did actually. I went through at least 2 weeks of wearing one again the other day.
Wow!
Just to prove, and I didn't even wash it. amazingly. Yeah. So there you go. So they bought that.
What we need to do is get a heartbeat monitor on when you're racing.
Oh yeah, they were just even just before the racing.
Just the whole, just the whole bit. I think just the whole like the hour before, because I think it would just steadily build, and then when you'd actually fire it up, and then you know, I think it would be interesting to see that.
Everyone would wonder how I'm still alive, probably.
Well, after watching our last video, I'm still wondering as well.
News just in, basically. Google Plus head Vic and Gundutra has left Google.
Yeah, I mean, this is a. I mean, he's been there, 8 years. He's an industry, you know, veteran. So I think he was at Apple for a time. I think he's been in. I think he was Microsoft for a time.
The developer face of Google.
Absolutely. So he was very much the kind of developer and the public face. So I think he was the one that kicked off Google I/O.
Yeah,
he was the face at Google I/O. He was known at the first kind of 2 or 3 I/Os as really getting the zings in against Apple, which a lot of people found distasteful. But the
it was a
kickback at Steve Jobs, you know, and it was he wasn't shy, and neither was Vic, even though they got on behind the scenes. I mean, Vic's. I still remember when Steve Jobs passed away, he put up a great story about him and Steve Jobs. And it just, I think it just shows you in public you see these things, but privately a lot of them are, you know, friendly, you know, behind the scenes.
Well, they've had working relationships in the past.
Absolutely. So yeah, he has left today. So it's announced today and he's left today.
Any statement about where he's going, or is it all?
No, he's just looking forward to his next chapter. So he's not saying he's out of the tech industry, but it's a big change, you know, 8 years. He did head up Google Plus.
Yeah, so Vic was responsible for putting Google Plus together and pushing it forward. And as Google have said, they've kind of done that against the grain of popular opinion that it's never going to work. And it kind of has done in its own little way. I'm so condescending.
It's very, I find Google Plus very strange. Because if I go and look at my profile right now, it'll tell me something stupid like, you know, I've had like 8,000 views on my profile page. It's like, no, I've not. You know, it's just rubbish. You know, there's some bits of it. And obviously the boost of traffic by tying everything together when you're, so your Google Plus account is your Google account, is your YouTube account.
As it should be. I mean, that's absolutely exactly kind of how you'd expect it to be.
You just want one account. I think they've done great things for photographers. So a lot of people are using Google Plus because all the photo stuff's all trapped inside Google Plus. So all the auto awesome that takes place, that's all I class.
For me, auto backup from my Android just happens and it's great. And if I want to share it, then it makes it easy. You know, that and for YouTube, if you want to just share out a video straight away, that's, you know, it's got all those tie-ins and it works from that point of view. And occasionally when I actually go and look at the feed that's there, actually I find the stories quite interesting and I find it, you know, an all right place to be. It's just not on my daily commute.
I still drop in once a day. And it's just because some of the people I follow, it does surface up things. And it's funny, I've been thinking about it more this week because I've been password changing. And so as I was in password changing and fixing my Twitter profiles and fixing the Digital Outbox Twitter profiles, I was like, I use Twitter to really follow a lot of companies and stories. But I don't use Facebook for it, but I know other people do. You know, you can see from what they like and what they're, you know, they're liking all these things and they get all their news that way. And in Google Plus, I guess I'm doing that a bit as well. And I find
it filters out some of the, you know, the random noise that you get on something like Twitter, because you know that they're pretty much tech focused and they're going to be pretty dedicated to have a feed out on Google Plus, and it's not drowned out by all the Me Too.
So yeah, but he's number two, because everybody thought, or I guess everybody assumed, Bradley Horowitz, because he was always the number two. When Vic was doing demos, he'd be kicking around or he'd be doing his own demos of it. He didn't get the job. So they reckon it's going to a guy called Dave Besbris, who is VP of engineering.
There you go. Well, time will tell.
Yeah.
They've added a feature, Google, to their Street View. You can now reverse in time. Apparently, it was a much requested facility. Basically, wherever they've driven their cars more regularly than, you know, so, well, at least once a month or whatever, or done it more than once in the past, they are now going to release those. Basically, you can step back in time. So every time you're on a road where the car's been down more than once, you can step it back in time.
And I was just going to say, I've been visiting the maps thing every like 2-3 hours, because Google UK, I've been tweeting every hour a new city, saying, there you go, there's Glasgow, there you go, there's this, the Commonwealth stadiums that weren't there before. And I keep on going on and there's nothing there, but I've just went and I've got it.
Yes, I just saw it before we came with the podcast, so, and I checked my road. My road's only ever been scanned once.
No,
the road at the top of my road twice.
I have been, how bizarre. I've got July 2008, August 2008, September 2008, October 2008.
Wow.
And then September 2012. No, they've done it 4 times in 4 months, which I didn't know.
Yeah, there you go. Still got the Elise on my drive.
Yeah, I've got my Focus sitting there, so it's always the home for one of them. That's class. Mm. I'll play with that later. Sweet. But I actually think that is really good, because there's information sitting there that I just think over the years, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now.
Exactly. If they can store all that, it's just fantastic. Bonkers, isn't it? It's brilliant. Yeah. No, I agree. And, you know, 100 years from now, even better, you know, if they're still doing what they do.
Yes.
Amazon has made they've smash and grabbed, basically. They've got old HBO shows for their Amazon Prime subscription web streaming videos. HBO, for those who don't know, don't have, except they've got their own app called HBO Go, which is only available in America. That's the only place you can get these shows. But now Amazon have come in and grabbed anything that's over 3 years old, except for one of the, you know, they haven't released Game of Thrones. And there's a couple of other shows that are tied up with other agreements. Again, we're only talking US here, but that's a massive thing for Amazon.
It is massive, because HBO, as you say, I mean, it's some really good quality shows in there. You know, so The Wire, Sopranos, you know.
Enough said. Stop there. That'll do.
But the kind of big box set type shows, you know, or they're in the top 10 of best shows ever kind of thing, you know, and HBO is known for their quality. And obviously Game of Thrones, the reason it's not there is HBO just said, we need to
protect that for
that's
our...
That's too important for us.
Yeah, it's too important for them. They've got to keep their own subscribers happy and the kind of the cable subscribers happy, that there's a reason to keep paying when, you know, rather than just, oh, just go to Amazon. So that's, you know, fair enough. You can understand that.
And I know we dinged investors earlier on, but just in this one piece of news alone, Amazon shares up 2% and Netflix down 4%. You know, it is a big, big deal.
I mean, they would have all been going for it. Let's put it that way, that, you know, Netflix would have definitely been gunning for that license as well. I mean, Netflix obviously is gaining, or has gained a lot over the last few years because of Breaking Bad, but that will be waning. So they need their next big hook, and now they've lost out on HBO. Well, we don't know that they've lost out, but you can imagine that Amazon's there's some sort of exclusive agreement there, right?
And it's a 3-year deal, so I guess this is the kind of crux of the issue for me for streaming. It's like, if I don't own the media, so yes, I could go, right, I'm in America, it's like, fine, I'm going to sign up to Prime. You know, I'm quite happy with everything there. And in 3 years' time, Netflix says, by the way, we've got it now.
Yeah.
And do you just shift over, or have I made purchases?
I think there's going to be a time when, you know,
you're going to be, you'll have content
people have
everywhere.
Multiple.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they will have the extra cash that they were spending on cable. That's no longer the way that you do it. You do it through the providers. You know, because cable, I'm sure, is exactly the same as it is over here with Sky and things. More and more content is being shoved down the broadband pipe rather than over the satellite pipes.
And it shows you why. I mean, Sky still had, I think, 3 years of their HBO deal to go and extended it last year. They've now got 6 years, and it shows you why, because they just see that as, this is like crown jewels.
If you're a Sky subscriber, obviously you've got that HBO deal, and it works pretty well. I mean, they use it for their box sets and catch up every now and again, so I think that works all right.
Yeah, I got the new
Sky. As long as you're a Sky subscriber.
Yeah, I got the new Sky blooming front end yesterday.
Yeah, it's a bit, I don't mind it, but you've got to go through search, and the problem is search on your controller is just a bit of annoying, isn't it?
And it's like, fair enough, they've unified the kind of design of it, so they've made it like the Android and iOS apps, but they work.
It won't be long before the next box will come with a controller that's got a keypad. That'll make things much more sensible then.
I know, but I'm looking at it saying it's fine for us, but there's an extra couple of button pushes in there, exit and out, there's a few extra button pushes in there. And then I'm looking at my mum thinking, this is just going to get really confusing. You know, it's just little things. It's like, you know, memory muscle is like, this all works.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like the first thing I do, you know, after pressing the, you know, the guide button is press up and left to get favorites and then back down again. And I got to, now I have to do something slightly different. But it's, you know what, you get used to it pretty quick.
Oh, you do. And it does put the download in front and center.
Absolutely. And so a bit like we've been saying, you just want to be able to search and therefore you'll have your programs wherever they happen to be on the download or just, the actual guide or whatever.
No, I don't
search
understand.
For Caterham Racing UK and you could see me there, you know.
Oh, wow. Did you get your interview this weekend?
Yeah, it was. Whether that doesn't necessarily mean that I'll be on TV. But I do look a little bit like a fat, I would say Michelin man, but we're sponsored by Avon Tyres. So I'm the Avon man.
Ding dong.
Avon calling.
It does put all the download stuff front and center. And the only thing I wish they'd done is that they'd made it that, and I'm sure it's the, what's the Freeview one that does the kind of 14-day thing? Not called Freeview or the Freeview Plus, is it? Is it Freeview Plus?
No, but it's something like that.
You know what I'm on about.
I do know what you mean, yes.
Why can't I just look at what was on last night? And then just say I missed that and watch it and catch up.
Yeah.
Instead, I've got to go to, I mean, I go to BBC iPlayer and I go channel and then I go BBC One and it's not showing me it in order. It shows me just like icons and it's like this.
Yeah, I have to say the iPlayer on that front is becoming weaker recently. I don't know. Yeah. I'm finding it harder to find things. But then I think, again, if you just do search, it's better that way. I mean, everyone's going to the search model. Video Freesat news
is what I was on
Freesat, yeah. Yes,
I think it was actually. Anyway,
there's something else. That's not what you're talking about. I'm sure it's not. No, anyway, you keep searching.
No, I've stopped.
okay, fine. A news, who's this? British Pathé has basically released all of their old newsreel footage and video from the past 80 years of global events, and it's now free to view online.
Fantastic. This is great. That's all great.
More people that do this, the better. I mean, so you can basically go and have a look back through the last 80. I've just seen the 10 stone baby. My goodness.
10 stone baby? Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, it
looks like me in the interview this weekend.
Is he sponsored by Avon Tyres?
I think he might be. So anyway, they've released their news footage and it's free to go and view. So you can go and have a look. And I'm sure it's great for researching, but also just for interest. And again, it's just that time machine type effect.
It is. And I've obviously got the channel set up and they've got, you know, what's popular, day that shook the world. So the kind of thing, you know, disasters caught on camera and all that kind of stuff. And there's loads, you just get sucked into a whole other little, you know, like, and then I started searching for things like, you know, well, Clyde, is there anything on shipyards, you know, back in the day? And there was 4 or 5 videos and it's mental. It's just, oh.
And these guys were big in the 1900s, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
And less so now, I think. But so you, it's all about, yeah, going back in time and having a look what was being.
Especially some of the wartime stuff is, you know, it's quite horrible, but. Compelling.
Resource.
Yes, yeah. Very good.
And that is our last news story for today, which is good. You have a pick, though.
Hitman Go.
Ah.
This is a game for iOS. And when I saw Hitman was coming out, and I saw it getting talked about in some forums, I was like, oh, it'll just be the crappy bloody Hitman from the, you know, it'll be some horrible first-person shooter on touch controls. And that purchase killing and nonsense. And it wasn't. It's a turn-based strategy game.
Kind of
isometric graphics are phenomenal. You know, just really different.
I'll have a look, definitely.
And it was basically you've got an agent, you've got yourself puzzles, and you take your turn, and then the others on the board take their turn. And $2.99, there's loads of levels. I think somebody says they completed it in a couple of days of playthrough, but that's more than enough.
Cost $2.99.
Exactly. I must admit, this has been a great month for iOS gaming, for iPad gaming. I've got picks for the next 4 weeks.
Okay. Hearthstone got released the other day, right?
Hearthstone's released and it was free. And again, really, really good. But there's just
maybe
there's
we'll talk about that another time.
I thought, well, that's your pick for next week, probably.
I haven't played it enough. Okay, anyway, Hearthstone's out. That's my pick for next week. Alrighty, that sounds good. I will go and investigate that then. And that is the end of this week's podcast. You can find out more about us at digitaloutbox.com, and you can email us info@digitaloutbox.com. Talk to us via Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. You might as well go back to my blog now, academyracer.co.uk, because I've updated it with my racing antics from the weekend before I came down with cold and flu.
So so for the listeners that didn't follow along, how did you get on, Chris?
I did all right in the end. Race one, I came seventh, but I got a new lap record, so that's very good. He says,
"Well, it's a lot of track record, was it not?"
So the lap record for my class isn't the fastest you've ever been. Yeah, go me. And in the second race, I came second on the road, but due to a technical infringement by the guy that won, I ended up winning that again with fastest lap. So in the game, top of the championship at the moment.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and on TV this Sunday, Caterham UK Racing.
So where's that? Is that in Channel 4? Is it Motor
TV? Motors TV, I think, this one. We will be on Channel 4 at some point, probably.
Motors TV.
There we go. What about you? Where can we find you?
Blog is END.net, and I'm on Twitter as Shweepa.
Have you been blogging any more about your running, or is this, have you decided not to do that? No.
Nah.
Because that's going alright.
But it's just that Runkeeper takes care of that.
Yeah, fair decent.
I actually stupidly went on a walk this week, and oh boy, am I buggered. But anyway.
What an end. Let's end it there. We will speak to you again next week. Goodbye.
Ta-da. I must admit, I saw your cooked breakfast on Sunday morning, or Saturday morning.
Oh, it's so nice. It's so nice.
Yeah, I saw that and I thought, I was just going to reply, 2 tenths.